Amen. It says it all in song. Jesus Christ made a way. He made a way for each and every one of us. And I want you to go with me to John 10:10. And today I want you to be reminded of why we follow Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want you to do is I want you to look at your neighbor and says, He died so you can be blessed. I mean, I want you all to really hear that, because you know what? Sometimes we forget why we follow Jesus Christ. I would probably take Brother Warren into a discussion on his purpose-driven life a little bit, because I believe that purpose is not the driver. I believe you can be purpose-driven over many different purposes. I believe that we are shepherd-driven. And if we're shepherd-driven, then we're spirit-driven. And I believe that you have to have a theology that starts with God. How many of y'all are glad that it all starts with God? And I don't want you to be, ignorant of what is in between there, but it is God that created the world, and it is God that will finish the world. And in the midst of God beginning and God finishing, there we find ourselves to be a part of God's plan. Now I want you to tell your neighbor, I am a part of the plan. Come on, I'm a part of the plan. Come on, we're going to talk up today. I'm a part of the plan. How many of y'all glad to be a part of God's plan? I mean, we are a part of the deal. And Jesus begins to speak in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, and I think it's a pivotal truth. He begins to reveal himself. He says, I am the shepherd. He said, I am the one that is going to lead you. Because here's what he said. He said, all people like sheep have gone astray. I don't know you. I got a problem. I went astray. Did anybody else in the room go astray? Is anybody here gone astray? Yay or nay? Yes. Watch this. That's the hardest thing for an American to do. This is the problem with our country. I've been examining it closely. We have one deep spiritual problem. We can't confess. We can't say to the African Americans, we were wrong for slavery. That was an abomination unto God. It was sin. It was wrong. It was hellish. It is forgiven. Let's go. You see, until we grab hold of the gospel starts with God, the gospel finishes with God, and your opinion doesn't count in the gospel. That's our problem. We think God has a Congress and needs our help in representing the world. God has a plan, and you and I get to be in it by His grace. Is everybody hearing me? Listen, you're important, and if there's a day, we got to confess. We've just done some things wrong. And I don't know why it's so hard to just say, I went astray. You know, God doesn't go bonkers when we go astray. God doesn't go, oh no, my sheep have gone astray. You know what a good shepherd does when the sheep go astray? Well, Jesus used this metaphor in Matthew. He said, the good shepherd, the shepherd just like me, will leave the 99 that are okay and go find the one that has battered. That's his view. Sometimes y'all get frustrated because the pastors don't give you a lot of attention after you become the 99. You know why? You're on your way. And we're looking for the one that's trapped in the bushes, whatever those bushes are. The one that the wolf's snaring at, because the wolf's snaring at them. And if we're going to be a good church, one of the metaphors and one of the moments that we got to take on is we got to join with the shepherd to shepherd. And that building is one big sheep pen for the lambs. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, feed my what? Well, at first he said what? Lambs. Now, lambs are different than sheep. I'm over here in the farm section over here. Timmy Young, old great farmer out in Richardsville, the Providence of Richardsville, kind of like Cana over there. Tell me the difference between a sheep and a lamb. Don't get real sophisticated, just the difference. The lamb is a young sheep. Did y'all get that?
Yes.
Can everybody understand that?
Yes.
It's a baby sheep. In fact, we even call lambs what? Kids. That's what you call them. That's a kid. What do we call little children sometimes? Kids. They're lambs. You know what that building is over there? It is a pen. How many of y'all found that children need to be penned up every once in a while? Huh? Kathy, we have classrooms. Why? To pin them up. I remember when I grew up, this was one of the education theories we were coming through, and we were going to have open classrooms. Y'all remember that when there were no walls in the classroom? Try that on with an attention deficit kid. So not only could I be distracted by everything that was going on in my room, I could look three other rooms down and connect with all the other attention deficit kids. If you notice, they put the concrete walls back up and closed them over and said, we're done with that theory. Here's what I found. The best we can do as human beings is have theoretical attempts to life. Some of them profit us and some of them we discover are unprofitable. Here are some attempts that we have made in our generation, in my deduction, that we need to get over. Life is not about satisfying myself. Now, I hear that from all you older folks. Well, that's right. Because you all understand that. You all didn't wake up every morning and ask this question, how will I be pleased today? However, we are living now in a generation, and it's right here in the Church of Jesus Christ in America. It's about pleasing yourself. And I want to show you just briefly, as you go to John 10:10, you will miss life if you are self-focused. Amen. Now, I'm telling you the truth today, and you can either embrace it or you can discard it. It'll determine your life today. Life is not about pleasing yourself. What do you think? Man, am I crazy or what? Watch this. You all think, well, that's a simple statement. I've just taken apart about 80% of the preaching in America. Because 80% of the preaching in America is about you being blessed. The problem with that theory, it's not in here. It's not about you being blessed. Now, you will get blessed, but you will not get blessed till you get in order. See, sheep don't go in the right direction unless they have a good shepherd. If you just take sheep and let them go by themselves, guess what they do? Come on, talk to me. What do? They wander off. Now, how many of y'all have ever seen a group of adolescent guys with no direction? 16, 10, how many of y'all were one of them? Now you get a group of guys together, about 8 to 10 guys together, and they have nothing to do, what will happen that evening? They're going to wander off where? Into something. Now you take a group of girls, and you put them together, and you give them no direction, what are they going to do? Fight. Somebody will be upset before the evening's over. Am I telling the truth? We wander off. We get in fights. We devour our own opportunities unless we listen to the shepherd. So here's what I'm telling you. Don't do the Nick Jaggers thing. If you're looking for satisfaction, you'll never get it. Look at Jaggers. He's petrified at 65. And he still ain't got no... But his song is the song of our generation. I can't get no satisfaction, so I'll do another line of cocaine. I can't get no satisfaction, so I'll make another 100,000. I can't get no satisfaction. And here's why. If all you're going to do is breathe in this world, you will never be satisfied. Here's why. It is temporary at its best. Everything's always changing. And it was always changing when Jesus came. He said, now, I want you to follow me. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am. And I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. Dr. Ward, when I think of that children's building, I think of many gates for the sheep. I think of the doors that will open, some of them going to a lower level where junior high and high school kids will hear about the great shepherd. I see many gates. There will be gates in the room as well as on the doors for 2-year-olds to 5-year-olds so they can come in and begin to learn the first step in theology. God created the world and God created me, thus I am significant. That starts from birth to 5 years old. And then I see the second floor where the gates are released a little more and the movement starts taking action. First grade through sixth grade. And we go from all the way from coloring to seeing that girls are good looking by the time we graduate in sixth grade. And then when we discover that, we send you back down to the basement to work your way up the rest of your life. You see, I see a building that is only going to do one thing. Provide space for the shepherd to talk to the sheep. See, when I look at this worship center and I hear this glorious music today and I look at each and every one of you, the key is we connect with the shepherd. And look what Jesus said. He said, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Don't listen to things that won't take you to eternity. Now here's where we've been snookered. Y'all remember that old word? Snookered. Stumped. Sold short. How many of you all have invested in your life many hours in diligent energy to things that will not last? I have. Even in churches, guess what? If it's about programs, they will not last. If it's about systems, they will not last. If it's about how we do church, we're not listening to the shepherd. It's about who leads your life. And if we surrender to Jesus Christ, then guess what we're saying? Instead of being satisfied, I'd rather for Jesus to be glorified. You start living in that rhythm, the other part of the scripture will begin to manifest itself in you. Once again, how many of y'all glad to be in the plan? And I want you to know that God loves you deeply. This is how much He loves you. He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. How many of y'all glad to be saved? Now, guys, this is important. I want you to know, you all have done a great job. You've done a wonderful job. We believe people ought to meet Jesus in this church. Would you say, yeah? Huh? You know, Brad James, we'll race cars. We'll jump on jumping bags. We'll go to the lake. We'll do whatever it takes to let people know what? Jesus died on a cross. He's risen from a grave. He is the truth, the way, the life. He will get in you and change you. We believe it. Yeah? Amen. Now we got to step that much further. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to say, you know what? We want to create space for God to bless people. That's all we're doing here. Amen? Now don't get caught up in a building. Don't warning, 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 warning. Don't get caught up in a building. Watch this. Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. The building will not bless anybody. It's just a building. It won't bless anybody, Dave. And here's how I know. I know some churches that have built fine buildings that don't have any people in them. You know why? I am the gate, says Jesus. You better be listening to the voice of the shepherd. He says the thieves come. Now, I want to tell you what, there's a lot of thieves in our culture. And man, those of you that teach school, you know what I'm talking about. These kids today are hearing everything that'll bless their life. Number one thing we hear all the time, if we have a lot of money, we're going to be happy. Well, if that's the case, why is it that everybody that's got a lot of money is sucking down antidepressants all the time? I mean, I'm just asking the question, if money alone could make you happy, then why are there so many miserable people that got it? Uh-oh, there may be something beyond it. And then there's so many miserable people in the world because they think if they just had it, they'd be what? We got a whole group of people running around just saying, oh, if I could just win the lottery, then my life would be all right. No, it wouldn't because you're the same person you are now. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Money won't change you. How many of y'all realize that? Watch it, Jim Martin, I remember we were talking about this one time. We were talking about wealth and money. And watch this. Here's all money will do. It will amplify who you are. If you're a crook, you'll be a bigger one. True? If you're an addict, you'll be more full-time addict.
Yes, that's right.
All money will do is amplify who you are. Now watch this. If you're a child of God and God gives you money, that money will amplify who He is. If it's for real. If you're really following the shepherd, you'd rather invest in the shepherd than you would your own personal what? Satisfaction. Here's all I'm telling you. I'm making a proposal to you. I've heard this. Not only have I heard it, I believed it in my life for long periods of time. I believed if I was satisfied, that was enough. How many of y'all have believed that before? If I was just happy, my wife, my children, we were just taken care of, everything was all right. Amen? Well, guess what? Here's what the shepherd says. No, I'm coming to bless you so you can bless others. And really, you're in the plan because your life makes a great difference in other lives. How many of y'all realize that every life here is worthy? I mean, do you really realize that? Every life is worthy. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel worthy. Well, that doesn't make you unworthy. That just means you got a feeling. And if you feel unworthy, guess why you feel unworthy? Because you believe in an absolute lie in your head. And that lie comes from the thief, because here's all the thief can do. Look at John 10:10. The thief comes only. Note that. Underline that. Only. Has no other abilities. Only. This is all the thief can do. Don't get too wigged out about the thief, because he's an only kind of devil. He's not a multi-talented devil. He's not a forever devil. He's not a there always devil. He is an only kind of devil. Your enemy only. To steal, kill, and destroy. Church, we don't want to have anything to do with stealing, killing, or destroying. Guess what we want to do? We don't want to steal from you. We want to give to you. We don't want to kill you. We want to, in the name of Jesus, say, live on. Huh? We don't want to destroy you. We want to what? Energize you, build you up to the blessing. Isn't that what God does? And he said, here's what I've come to do. Here's the will of God. Here's the will of God. Say, uh-oh, here's the will of God. Come on. Uh-oh, here's the will of God. Come on. Andy, here's the will of God. How many sermons, Bible studies, and events did you go to where they were all seeking the will of God? Lord, I need to know the will of God for my life. Well, here it is. Now, here's the deeper question. You know the will of God. That's not the question. The question is, will you walk in the will of God? Donna, we know the will of God. I mean, God's given us Bibles, he's given us DVDs, he's given us teachers, he's given us preachers, he's given us churches. He has laid it out very clearly. That's not our problem. Our problem is we won't listen to the shepherd. And here's what the shepherd said. He said, I have come that they, who's that? Just say, that's me. That's me. May have life and have it to the full. Now, here's what I'm asking you today. How many of y'all want a satisfactory condition, or would you like to have a full life? Now, let me tell you about full life. Full life embraces it all. Now, here's the difference in full life. Full life is rejoicing with God when the stock market goes to 900. Woo! But Pastor Ed, you don't understand. On paper, I lost a lot. No, you lost nothing, because the shepherd has not left you. And the stock market, guess what, can go to 1700, which I wish it would. And guess what? The same God's on the throne. See, when you have a full life, you begin to live in the freedom of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said, here's what I've learned. I've learned to be content with what's going on, because I've discovered that God never changes. He said, I've been in places where I've had plenty, and I've been in moments where I've had a lot of wants, but here's what I found. God has never changed, no matter what the conditions. And thus, he's worthy to hold on to. He said, I'm the gate, and those who come through me will be saved. How many of y'all believe that? That's what we're going to be teaching these kids in this new facility. Amen? And we got to kick it up. You know what? And church, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you once again. I told every one of you that this is our mission. I want you to connect with one person that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of you are so churched up, you thought I was talking like a preacher. Because you've heard other preachers say we need to win people to Jesus, but they're not serious about that. They'll excuse you from that. They'll tell you that's not your responsibility. Well, I'm telling you, it is all of our responsibilities. It's not just the preacher's responsibilities. Lord have mercy. If y'all leave the kingdom of God up to the pastors of today, we're in a hell of a lot of trouble. Because I'm going to tell you something about the hired hands. They'll never stand as good as the shepherd. I'm going to tell you the truth. I love a lot of you, but if it came down to dying for you, I'd think about it. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I mean, if they said, Ayers, you got to stand in front of that bullet for Tim Murley. I said, Lord, he's lived a good life. I'm Tim, I love you, but I'm just telling you the truth. Now, Tim, I'm telling you, I'd think about it. I'm being honest as I can be. I mean, I love you, and we've journeyed for years together, but I would think about it. Yeah, Merle, you wouldn't do the same way. You'd be running. You'd say, Lord, let him have it. He probably just did something to get it. At least JD would contemplate it. note, here's what I'm telling you. God brings a full life, and I hope you all embrace it. And church, this is a pivotal moment, not because we're building a building, because we're going to be able to release a ministry. Young people, I'm so thankful that you're here, and I'm going to challenge you to some things. I'm not an easy preacher. If you want an easy faith, man, I'm not your church. I'm not your church. I mean, if you want gumdrops and lollipops, you can turn on to TBS. He'll be on tonight. And he'll tell you everything's going to be all right no matter what. I'll tell you the truth. There's going to be low points in your life, and there's going to be high points in your life. There's going to be times in your life where people walk with you, and there's going to be times in your life where people betray you. There are going to be times when it looks like victory is inevitable, and there are going to be great losses. That's the honest to God truth, because Jesus never speaks a lie. And he said, I've come to bring you a full life, not an easy one, a full one. And full and abundant means, guess what? I'm going to touch everything before I leave. You see, I used to believe that verse was about gumdrops and lollipops. I used to think, man, God's going to bring me a full life, and I'm not going to have any problems. And anytime I get in a situation, I'm going to come through victorious. Because if you preach it like that, they'll give a lot of money. But then if you tell the truth about it and you really look at Jesus, guess what? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, was he having a full life? Talk to me. Absolutely. When Jesus was rising from the grave, was he having a full life? But see, we want to talk about the resurrection without the crucifixion. When they were beating on him, guess what Jesus was saying? I'm still the shepherd. I'm still the gate. I'm still the way. I'm still the truth. I'm still the life. I'm still the beginning. I'm still the end. And that Roman soldier hit harder and harder and harder until they were tired. Because guess what they found out? They couldn't beat the truth out of him. They couldn't take the life out of him. And they couldn't change his way. Can you imagine a group of sheep that lived like that? Say what you want to say. Talk about us all you want to talk about us. But we're going to follow the shepherd. Because here's what we found. I'm the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. Underline that, please. Underline that, please. The preachers are not the shepherd! Y'all in love with a bunch of celebrity preachers. I'm so tired of hearing what who said and who said and Dr. So-and-so said and they said. What did Jesus say? You say, well, they must be successful because they got a large church. Really? It says in the last days, multitudes will gather together to have their ears tickled. That's what it says in the Word of God. It said they'll fill up coliseums so you can hear what you want to hear. The lights will go on. It'll be flash dance. And you'll walk away going, what? Anytime you walk out of here and just all you can say is, I feel good, then I've failed to tell you the truth. You better say, I've heard what the shepherd said today. And now I'm going to go be an obedient sheep. That's preaching. Here's what the shepherd said. He said, the thief comes, but I'm going to conquer the thief. He says this, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. How many of y'all glad to know you are owned by God? Just tell your neighbor, I'm God made. Come on, some of y'all need to realize that. I'm God made. Come on, talk among yourselves. I'm God made. Speak it. Because some of you don't believe it. Dr. Blevins, I've heard people say this in all their arrogance. Well, I'm a self-made man. That's a bunch of baloney. Your mama hauled you for 9 months. You couldn't do that by yourself. Your daddy pulled the trigger. You didn't do that by yourself. Amen? Your grandmama changed your diapers. You couldn't do that by yourself. Somebody helped you. Amen? Now, here's what I'm trying to show. Am I making any sense today? Huh? What about it, Don? Make it any sense? Huh? Is it working? You believe this stuff, though, don't you? You know why? Because you grew up in a generation that told you you had to do something. See, so you grew up in a generation that said, what, they didn't let you over there in Ohio County just sit down and play PlayStation, did they? They didn't even have PlayStation back then. Had jacks. By gosh, guess what else they had back then? Joe, you know what they had back then? What they had back then? Work, wasn't it? When you was 12 years old, did you ever see the couch when you were 12 years old at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? You didn't even know they had an afternoon couch, did you? What were you doing? You know what sheep do when they follow the shepherd? They make a difference. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. Somebody hearing this message? Now, church, we got one mission. We're not going to let go of these kids. And I'm going to do my best with the rest of the hired hands, and that's the rest of us, not to run when trouble comes. Amen. You know what's tempting to do right now? To just polish my teeth and tell y'all good stuff. You know why? You'd buy it. Because it's what you want to hear. It's a lot easier to preach. Just tell everybody they're going to be a blessing. Tell everybody there's never going to be any rough times. Just tell everybody, God bless America. We're Americans, and that's what's going to make a difference. By the way, if you really read your Bible, we're not in the end chapters. I mean, we got some theologians that make a lot of money trying to tell you you're in the end chapters. But the plain text is, you're not in the end chapters. We're not. Wonder why. You see, the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. So we got to ask ourselves a question. Have we really listened to the shepherd, or have we listened to our interpretations of the shepherd? Have we bent the shepherd to fit us, or have we allowed the shepherd to lead us to fit heaven? Let me tell you what the shepherd does. He lays down his life for the what? I'm glad to know we got a God that's going to lay it down for us. Amen? Amen? Now, how many of y'all realize if we're really going to follow God, man, we got to start laying down things for others. Here's what the building's about. It's to make sure our children and our grandchildren, in this room, even great-grandchildren. Greats. Montrose, just one great. Not great-great yet, just one great. Have an opportunity to be what? Encouraged by the truth of the gospel. How many of y'all willing to buy into that? Now, here's where I am on money. Stuff costs. How many of y'all have noticed that? I don't do rah-rah when it comes to raising funds in the church. I don't do 400 campaigns. And I don't get Jerry Clower to come and speak to us, because that would be a miracle in itself now since he's dead. I mean, I used to go through all these church campaigns, and I used to sit there so frustrated. Why can't preachers just be honest? The building costs X amount of money. We have to pay for it. That's adults. You know what? We got it. How many of y'all are pretty blessed and pretty thankful for being blessed? We ought to wake back up to that. Some of y'all go, I may lose my job. Guess what? You may find another one. See, I want you to start thinking positive. Guess what? Some of y'all may be the people that figure out we need to make some stuff again in America. Y'all may leave your job and start another job that gives a whole lot of other people a job. Where are those people? That's what America was made on at one time. You remember that? Old John would start a sawmill in the village, and before too long, 25 other people worked in the sawmill. And you know why everybody bought their lumber? Because it was straight. It was quality. We got to raise up a group of kids that understand they're called to make a difference in Jesus Christ. But we can't teach them that unless we're making a difference in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm just asking you to not run away. Will y'all stay? It's going to be a lot of hard work. Y'all cool with that? All right, let me give you the picture. Next 3 months, it's going to be muddy. It's going to be mud around here again. Not going to be much straw. Parking's going to be difficult. How many of y'all going to complain? All right, you can complain. How many of y'all realize y'all tried this? Your staff doesn't listen. Good. Take it up with the shepherd. Say, Jesus, why is it muddy around here? He said, probably because you're building a building. Come on, we got to engage, folks. It's got to be that real. I want you to know that you've been called to make a difference, and I want you to know that God is making a difference in you. And I just hope you let him do it. Amen? Has this sermon made sense today? It's a key attitude to Hillview Heights Church. I've come that they might have a full life. I want everybody here to have a full life. I want every parent here to know that your child got a shot at the gospel. Grandparents, I want you involved. Now, I'm going to talk to some of you all. Do y'all realize that 10 years from now, we're the largest senior adult church in the city? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm talking we will be retirement hall central here in 10 years. You know what I'm asking for? You know that commercial? I don't know what the actor's name is, though, but you know he's got that gray goatee and those kind of cool-looking glasses, and he's like, retirement's here, doom, 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 doom. We're the generation that rock and rolled, and doom, doom, doom. You know, kind of like you, Gary. You know, old man still thinking you're young. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of attitude. Doom, doom, doom. You know what? I want us to be the church that never retires. Amen? Now, here's what I figure. Now, you may not have retirement if things keep going like they're going, so just hang on. You may work the rest of your life. Amen?
Yes.
Some of y'all are going like this. Well, mine's insured. By what? The government? That ought to bring you great hope. There's only one entity that's got more debt than me. That's the government I live in. You know what? I'm indebted to Jesus Christ. What about you? My sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And the message is the whole world can be forgiven. Come on, I want you to wake up. We do need a group of Christians that don't just talk about hope, but become it. Don't just talk about faith, but live it. And don't just talk about love, they create it. And I think you're the ones. What do you think? I've said this before. It'd be just like God to use Bowling Green, Kentucky to do something worldwide. People in, you know, Bangladesh going, where is that Bowling Green, Kentucky? Why them people talk funny like this? They sure do talk funny, but they sure do love us a lot. I have come that you might have a full and abundant what?
Life.
And we're going to go share it. Amen? Has God said a peace today? Have you realized this? It's not about satisfaction. It's about glorifying God. And let's keep it there. Amen? My mentor, Leonard Sweet, said this in one of his many books. I've forgotten which one he said it in. But he said this. And when I first looked at him, I was like, man, that's crazy. But I mean, he's kind of crazy. He said, I want to bounce my last check. And I thought, Leonard, I know you're real academic, but you're not real business smart. Here's what he meant by that. I want to have taken what God allowed me to have in my moment of life and used every bit of it to make a difference. Now, bouncing your last check may be an inheritance check to the next generation behind you so that they can continue on. Amen? So here's where we're going. All you educators, listen, I'm staying with you in public schools. And I tell you what, did y'all see that piece, Dale? Did you see that piece on YouTube where a teacher in Baltimore was attacked? Teachers, if anybody attacks you, call me. They can't sue me. And I'd be glad to bring the love of Jesus upon those children. You know what a shepherd does sometimes? He breaks the leg of the sheep so he can carry it till it learns to follow so it won't kill itself. You know what we've done with the sheep? We've turned them loose without a shepherd and wondered why they're wild and woolly. Now, parents, you are the first shepherding moment. Guess who you need to introduce them to? Jesus. I'm telling you, if we'll step up, can I give you some hard lines? When soccer practice says we're going to be at Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, y'all want to make a difference? Say, you may be, but you'll be without my child. You know what would happen if Christian parents did that? They'd change soccer practice. They'd change baseball practice. They'd say, the most important thing my child needs to know is the shepherd that's going to lead them. By the way, for all y'all that are spending bukus of money waiting to find a pro athlete, we've had four from Warren County in the last 50 years. You'd do better to buy your kids lottery tickets. But you know what? If they don't find character in a sense of morality, in a sense of making a difference, in a stimulation to their intellect, that when they turn 20 years old, they don't have much of a package to make a difference, do they? And guess what it takes to raise children? What do you think? Keith, you're about to raise one. What do you think it's going to take? And you're going to get a female. That's three times the work as a male child. Hmm? What do you think it's going to take? Work! Guess what shepherds do? Work. They get up early in the morning. They feed sheep. They take them to the pastures. They let them out of the pen. And here's what Jesus says. The sheep know His voice. So I want you to hear His voice. Amen. How many of y'all realize great things are going to happen? How many of y'all feel it in the room right now? Amen. I'm going to ask y'all to do something. Jim and Dale and some of you guys, I'm going to ask y'all to come on up here. My BAM team members and deacon elders and leadership in the church. If y'all teach Sunday school too, teach preschool and stuff, I want y'all to just come to the altar real quick. Come on, please do it quick because we ain't got all day here. We're rolling today. There you go. I'm not asking you to be saved. You're already saved. I'm just asking you to come up here. Leadership. These are leadership. These are people, man, that are on the business administration team. They're your deacons, your elders, your teachers in this church. Now, guess what? Are they special? No. No, hold on. I want you to hear this. Are they special? No. They're called. They're no different than you, but they have some assignments in the body. Okay? They help out the shepherd. Dale Brown, where are you, brother? Come here a minute. I want y'all to pray for Dale. Okay? Y'all know Dale? Y'all see him in the newspaper and TV every once in a while. Dale didn't have enough to do running 15,000 people in the school system. So he's in charge of putting this building together. Now, why would God choose Dale? Maybe he's built about 9 schools. What do you think, Dale? And Dale's going to take what the talents, the leadership, and the things that God gave him. I want you to pray for Dale in this building process. Okay? I want you to pray for our BAM team, Jim Martins and them, as they look at financing, our pastoral staff, all of these children's ministries, these preschool people, and we're going to pray at this altar. And I want deacons, y'all willing to pray boldly? Y'all spiritual leaders of this church. Jim, you want to pray boldly? Mm-hmm. I want to pray. We got about 1.5 to 2 years. Let's be out of debt. Now, here's what I want y'all to hear. 5-10 makes a big difference. You say, well, Lord, Pastor, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for $5. I know, but I want to show y'all something. The widow's mite gets blessed. See, I'm not asking y'all to give $1 million. I'm asking you to give what you can give. And if you just give what you can give, guess what? Some of y'all may quit smoking, give you cigarette money. Some of y'all may quit dipping. I hope not, but if you do, give you dip money. Some of you, you know, some of y'all may quit drinking. There's $50 a week. True? Hold on, y'all are smiling. Watch this. What the shepherd relieves, put it in and say, I want to bless some kids with it. Amen? Amen. You get a little windfall every once in a while. Bless it. Guess what? If we would all just do that together, what would happen? Some of y'all say, well, I may have fulfilled my dream fulfillment. Praise God. If you got some more money, dream a little more. See, here's what I don't want to live a life that says I want to do the least for the shepherd, but I want to do everything I can do for the shepherd. Amen. Here's what Elizabeth and I did a long time ago. When we started Living the Vision, we've just always made a payment to Living the Vision. Because here's what we realized. Steve, remember when we started Living the Vision? I remember when you stood up here with 2020 cards, remember? Here's what I realized. That vision is never going to die as long as I'm alive. And so since Elizabeth and I are good at making payments, we just started one. And we just keep that payment rolling. Guess what? If we get to live till we're 70, we'll still be making that payment, living the vision, because something's going to be going on. Make sense? You know, by then, Keith may have 15 children. I may just have to make it to him, you know, to raise his vision. But God's going to do something great. Amen? Well, I want y'all to stand, and I want to give an invitation. If you don't know the shepherd, today's a great day to be saved. I want you to come and pray with these people. These are your faithful followers. We're going to break ground at 12:30 on the nose. Okay? And I want you to pray. If you need to be baptized, you come today. I want you to pray with these people. And we're going to close. In fact, now we got to do this quick because we probably run late. This is called an altar rush. Like a gold rush. I want you to come. I want us to end this service in prayer. I want you to go out here. I want you to high-five everybody here and say, we're going to do it. Amen. Would you all do that? That's your ministry. You're 8 o'clock. You've got to start it today. We're going to do it together. All right, in the name of Jesus, let's come together right now and pray for these people. Come on to the altar. We're going to end right here today. Lord, as we just hear you right now, God, just speak to all these people. We pray, God, that this building be paid off. We pray that everybody be released right now, Lord.